You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, and welcome back to tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards and Keith Alexander with you this Saturday evening, August the 7th, year of our Lord, 2021. And we are bringing to you another guest making his debut appearance on this broadcast. And we're happy to do so with Neil Kumar. Neil is a Republican candidate for the United States Congress representing the Arkansas Ozarks. So we're going to be talking to him for the full hour. We're going to hear what he has to say. We're going to learn why he's running and why the bad guys are already out to get him after just launching his official campaign just a couple of weeks ago. Neil, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you. So if I understand correctly, you are currently, presently, a law student. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm enrolled in my third and final year at the University of Arkansas School of Law.
Well, Neil, this is Keith Alexander. I'm co-hosting with James. I'm a lawyer, licensed in multiple jurisdictions, and I can tell you we need more people like you in the law. I hope that this thing comes out very well for you. I think that this particular election, this 2022 congressional election, is key to the future of this country. We need real conservatives like you elected rather than people like your opponent who are just basically for sale to the rhinos and everybody else that is basically against white America.
We will learn from
They're
Neil,
sold out who his opponent to their corporate masters.
That's absolutely right. We're going to learn from Neil who his opponent is and why he's running against him. But first, let's just go back because this is an interesting story and one that I can relate to in a way, not having been a law student, but having run for office at around the same age as you are running now. What led you to seek office as a college student, a university student?
Well, I'll go back to something that your co-host said. He said 2022 is a key election. I think 22 might be our last chance at a political solution to our nation, right? I mean, things are getting very dark very fast. Our nation is completely disintegrating before our eyes. We're watching it die in real time. And so, you know, I didn't have time to wait and take the regular path of, well, I'll run for city council and then I'll run for state representative and then maybe I'll run for U.S. representative. I didn't have time for that. You know, so I felt God called me to do this now because we're losing our country, and I don't know how much longer we're going to have this country.
Neil, this is Keith again. My problem is, how can we find more people like you to run? We've got to get people that are principled rather than ambitious, people that will stand up under the hellstorm that the left will prepare for them. I've run for public office myself. I've run into it personally. I have the battle scars along with James. We've run for public office before, and so we know what you have in store for you. And they'll call you everything except a child of God. But I read your speech for the Confederate Memorial Day and circulated that to people that I circulate stuff to on the internet, and I, almost to a person, they said, why didn't we ever learn stuff like this in history class? And this is people that are in their 70s and 60s, people in the so-called good old days of America back in the 50s and 60s.
Well, yeah, that was something we posted a few weeks ago, and we can revisit that later, but it was a magnificent, magnificent.
And I would recommend anybody that has any doubts about Neil's bona fides read that. This is not Nikki Haley, folks. This is a totally different type of Indian American, okay?
And, and nevertheless, we'll get to that heritage and so much more this hour, but let's go back to your opponent now, if you can. You answered, and I think quite well, why you would, as a student, seek something as ambitious as the United States Congress, and you know, who knows, maybe the time to effect change at the ballot box is gone. Maybe it is long since passed. But You don't know, and that's why you have to throw the kitchen sink at it, and it's good to have candidates running like you who can mix things up. So tell us about your opponent. Interesting story there that you wrote about in the article that was featured at VDare.com this week.
Oh, yeah. So his name is Steve Womack. I call him Deep State Steve, and that's just about as representative of him as you can find. He's a swamp creature. He got in there in 2010. He rode the Tea Party wave. He was so he took over from current Senator John Bozeman's seat, and he was kind of John Bozeman and the Arkansas GOP machine's handpicked successor. And he was the mayor of Rogers, Arkansas. But anyway, he's a six-term congressman. He'll have been there 12 years by next year, and he's got nothing to show for it. His top donors are defense contractors. So, you know, why do we have endless wars? Because neocon politicians like Deep State Steve are paid to keep feeding the meat grinder. He voted along with 34 other Republicans with Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney to perpetuate this insurrection hoax and create a 9/11 style commission to investigate January 6th. And what is that? We're seeing it right now. Trump supporters are being rounded up. They're being treated like Al-Qaeda or worse than they'd be treated at a CIA black site. They're getting beaten and tortured and have solitary confinement in our nation's capital. Now, what do politicians like that do? They applaud. They'll lock us all in the gulags and throw away the keys.
Well, you know, with Al-Qaeda and groups like that, they had to put them in the Guantanamo former naval base because they knew that what they were doing to them would violate the law of America and their constitutional rights under the Bill of Rights. Well, but apparently they don't even fear the Bill of Rights. Things like bills of attainder and double jeopardy and writs of habeas corpus. None of that stuff apparently applies anymore to conservatives in America. And it really is. It's scary. It's a dark time.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. We live in a fully post-constitutional state now, right? We are a stateless people. There's nobody looking out for us. I mean, it's full anarcho-tyranny. That's what we're seeing right now.
Well, I was telling James what we need is the conservative equivalent of the squad. We need people that will stand up for the good old laws and the good old America that used to have prohibitions against ex post facto laws and writs of habeas corpus, things like this that we need as safeguards. But let me just give you one bit of advice. You're never going to make money or bring in the campaign contributions that your opponent will, and you need to get this message out. Tell people that you need to listen very carefully, and if you see one or more candidates in this race that have obviously a lot of money backing them, you hear a lot of TV ads, a lot of other advertising, that's very important information. They're telling you who not to vote for.
Well, and we'll get into that.
Absolutely.
Will get into that with Neil over the course of this hour. We're going to ask him a lot of questions, give him plenty of time to talk and what he can do. And you can do a lot with a little. And in fact, we will point to someone who did exactly that in the very last election cycle. So get to know Neil Kumar here, and be sure to check out his website, neilforarkansas.com. There you can check out his platform, get more information about Neil the Man, and so much more. So stay tuned. We're just getting started. Much more to come with Neil Kumar, candidate for United States Congress in Arkansas.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No. Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, we're back now, ladies and gentlemen, with Neil Kumar, candidate for United States Congress out of Arkansas. And we've got a lot of questions for Neil, so I told Keith during the break, we're going to cut out our commentary in 2 cents, and we're just going to go straight Q&A so we can give Neil as much of the floor, the remaining segments of this hour, as we can. So as you mentioned just a moment ago, he is primarying veteran Republican Representative Steve Womack, who was one of the few Republicans to vote for Nancy Pelosi's January 6th commission, which was very interesting. You wouldn't have expected that necessarily out of a congressman from Arkansas. So, Keith, let's get down to the questions. Neil, tell us the issues that form the foundation of your campaign.
Well, my platform is centered on the family, restoring the family, which is the smallest unit of government. If you fix the family, you can fix everything else. But what sets me apart from pretty much any other candidate in the country, probably in several cycles, is the fact that I'm not afraid to talk about white interests, white America. As I said earlier, we've got nobody looking out for us, and especially if you're white and especially if you're poor, you've got nobody looking out for you, right? Look what's happening to our country. The rhetoric with which leftists and some people on the Republican Party, which, you know, it's the unit party, the bipartisan left, but anyway, the rhetoric that is used towards whites is nothing short of genocidal. You can get away with saying anything you want to in this country now about whites, and it passes without comment. You've got that psychiatrist, Donald Moss, writing it. Academic paper in a respected journal calling whiteness a parasitic condition for which there is not yet a permanent cure. I don't know what that is, but a call to genocide, right? You see ethnic cleansing of whites happening throughout our country. That's what this immigration invasion is, legal and illegal. They're pumping in 200,000 aliens a month. Like, our country is completely collapsed, and no one's willing to talk about it.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's apparently the racism is a principle no longer applies. You see them no longer calling you racist so much as white nationalists and white supremacists. And apparently what the left is intent upon doing is taking away the category of the good white. There's no such thing as, like they used to say, the only good Indian is a dead Indian. Well, now the only good white is a dead white.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about these issues. I am here at kneelforarkansas.com. Remember that website, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have many people in the arena, in the political arena, who are running on issues explicitly. And you just heard it from the candidate's mouth. But here are his issues that he's running on: stopping the Great Replacement, defending the Second Amendment, fighting to protect life, ending the war on the working class, the opioid plague, making the family great again, secure elections, preserving our heritage, and America first. Well, let's talk about that heritage, Neil, because yours is quite fascinating. On your mom's side, if I'm not mistaken, her side of the family goes back to, what, the 17th century in America? I mean, you go all the way back and have ancestors.
1600s, right.
Right, yeah, the 1600s, who fought in the American Revolution and certainly for the South and the war between the states. And your father is of Indian heritage. So what led you, what compelled you to take up the mantle of fighting back against anti-white discrimination?
Yeah, so I was raised as Southern as they come, just like my mom. She grew up in Rich Hill, South Carolina. Her dad, my grandpa, was born in 1933 during the Great Depression. He was a sharecropper. And Rich Hill, South Carolina, is just a little small, unincorporated community. It's like Mayberry. I mean, they say Mayberry didn't exist, but it did all over the South. So, you know, I wasn't really raised with any, I mean, my dad is Indian. He's a Hindu, but I was raised a Southern Baptist. So I never really had much of a connection to the Indian part of my heritage. But regardless of my heritage, it's just, you know, whites built this nation. It is a white country. I just watched Viktor Orban get interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and it struck me as so remarkable that Orban is pilloried in this globalist Lugan press, all for his simple belief that a nation has the inalienable right to self-determination, that an ethnically homogenous Christian nation has the right to stay that way. And it's such a shame that that is now an aberration rather than the norm.
Well, Neil, I remember Ann Coulter said, where has diversity of population existed in any nation in the history of mankind where it hasn't been an enormous problem? That's the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And see, let's compare you with another Indian American from South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who led the charge to try to take down Confederate statues and the Confederate flag. You would seem to be the anti-Nikki Haley from listening to you. You've embraced the white part of your heritage, and congratulations for that. I mean, we need all the champions we can get, because we can't, you know, somebody like Steve Womack is the perfect example of a rhino. He votes like a Democrat, he talks like a Democrat, he acts like a Democrat in every way. Why would the conservative population of the Arkansas Ozarks vote for such a fraud?
That's a great question. A great question. Well, they have a true representative here, and I can guarantee you, Neil, as I browse your platform right now, there's just no doubt about it. Your issues are going to be much more aligned with the issues of your rank and file Arkansan than that of your opponent. And of course, the question in the big challenge, of course, is to get the name out there and let it be known, even in the midst of such attacks. And those attacks have already started. We can start this part of the discussion here and carry it over into the next segment. But again, we made mention of the fact earlier that you are in your final year of law school at the University of Arkansas School of Law. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
In Fayetteville.
Right. And yeah, they sent out, the dean of the school, if I'm not mistaken, sent out an email to everybody there except for you. What was that about?
Right.
What did she say?
They
an email about you to everybody but you.
Exactly. It was sent to all students, faculty, and staff. So, like, even the janitors got it, I guess, except me. So it's a very vague. The letter is actually up at my most recent article on VDare.com, so I won't read it. But it's a very vaguely worded, I mean, you know, academic letters, what are they really saying? So they said some platitudes about my First Amendment rights. The way that I and some of my friends interpret the email is that the law school is getting inundated with calls, and I don't doubt that they are. They're probably getting multiple calls a day from people trying to get them to expel me or otherwise take some kind of action against me. And if they were a private school, they may be able to do that, but they're not. They're a public school, so their hands are tied for now.
Yes, good point. So great point.
That's how I read it.
But still interesting, because, I mean, what have you done or what have you said that would warrant such a response and such an action? Okay, yes, you have made mention of the fact that you're running for to serve the interests of all Arkansans, including white Arkansans. Now, if it goes back to what we say so often, what would you call an elected official who stands up and says he is proudly fighting and championing the black community? You would call him a black man. What do you call someone like Neil, who's doing it and makes mention of the fact that he also wants to benefit whites and in white discrimination? You would call him a white supremacist. And
or Steve Womack, who is basically saying, I'm going to vote against the interests of most of the people in my district.
When people have an opportunity to vote for someone who will serve their best interest, this is of all Arkansans, by the way, regardless of heritage or ethnicity, this would be the guy you want. But I certainly appreciate the fact that he is standing up for the historic majority of this country. And we'll talk more to him about that. Ladies and gentlemen, bookmark his website. Go check it out. NeilForArkansas.com. Neil Kumar, our guest. We'll be right back with
Pursuing Liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo could face misdemeanor charges, according to Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple. The sheriff made the announcement Saturday in response to a criminal complaint from a former aide to the governor who accused Cuomo of groping her. Apple promised that a comprehensive investigation would be conducted, though he would not commit to any timeline for its completion. An investigation by an independent panel overseen by New York's Attorney General's office concluded that he sexually harassed 11 women during his time in office. And the American Embassy in Kabul is urging Americans in Afghanistan to leave the country as soon as possible. The embassy issued the security alert on Saturday, telling U.S. citizens still in the country to take commercial flights if they could, because help from the embassy may be extremely limited. The warning comes a day after Taliban fighters captured a provincial capital in the south of the country. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill has passed a key hurdle in the Senate, clearing the way for a final vote. The chamber voted 67-27 Saturday to invoke cloture, ending debate on the $1.2 trillion spending package and allowing for a final vote on Monday or sooner. A scheduled recess had been delayed by Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to try to get work done on this measure and on a much larger budget resolution. Utah Senator Mike Lee is one lawmaker unconvinced by the bill. He tells Fox News that the package is an inflation bomb being dropped on an economy already damaged by rapidly rising prices.
Inflation's going way up because the federal government's been spending way too much money that it doesn't have. When it does that, we effectively just print more money. I mean, look, I know U.S. treasuries are issued and everything, but it has the same effect as just printing more money. We got the same basket, more or less, of goods and services in the economy, but when you dramatically expand the money supply in the way that they're doing, that means the price of everything will go up.
And this is USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are with Republican candidate for United States Congress, Neil Kumar, out of Arkansas, neilforarkansas.com. And so, of course, a couple of times over the course of this interview, we have mentioned whites. Where we get in trouble is that when we mention whites, it's not as a pejorative. You can mention whites as a candidate or as an elected official, but only as a pejorative, only if you are attacking them. So this is something that people are just going to have to grow up and get past. You can run for office and speak of white people with affection and with courtesy and with respect and with some reverence and not be a white supremacist or a white nationalist or whatever else they want to call you. So again, because of the issues Neil has articulated, and quite well, I might add, and because of the issues we've read from his website that he is campaigning on, he has suffered some attacks from the dean of his university, his school of law. But that's not all. Let's talk about Facebook. Neil, let's talk about your barber. What can you tell us?
So I've been going to this barber. His name's Andrew Haygood at Uptown Barber Lounge in Bentonville, Arkansas. I've been going to him for the past couple of years. And we always got along well. In fact, so my dad owns a flooring business, and this barber, you know, he needed some carpet replaced, and so I did this guy a favor. I had my dad do this carpet job at cost, so we actually paid for the labor. We helped this guy out. How does he repay me? Tells me I'm no longer welcome at this barber shop because I guess cutting someone's hair equals an endorsement of everything they've ever said or thought. I didn't know that, but you know, that's news.
Neil, I saw a picture of him in that article. He looks like he's a member of the U.S. Olympic team. In other words, you can always tell the American who's up on the stage because he's one that looks like a pervert or a weirdo.
I didn't see that, actually. But anyway, but you know, when it hits close to home, it does hit indeed. So This is just some of the injustice and some of the intolerance. I mean, you want to talk about intolerance, not cutting somebody's hair because they're a conservative? I mean, I can't imagine what any right-thinking person could have found in your platform or in what you've said and what you've written and what you've done that would truly be offensive. I mean, there is nothing. But that's certainly an aside.
You know, what's interesting is that the thing that I seem to be most hated for is my unapologetic defense of the South and the Confederacy. I think that aside from being a Christian, the best litmus test for who a person is on any other issue is what they think of the South. Because if you see the injustices that the Southern people have had to deal with through their entire history, and you're still against them, then you're actually just an evil demon.
Well, that's right. And you and I had talked about your appearance on this program. We've been talking about it for some weeks. And I told you, I said, Neil, you know, you appear on this show. There's not only a possibility, but indeed a likelihood that will be something that perhaps, at least if the media gives it a treatment.
They did it to Donald Trump. They might as well do it to you.
Overshadow perhaps even your platform itself. And I said, you know, think long and hard about it, but if you want to come on, I would be happy and honored to have you. And you said, no, we've got to do this. And that shows courage. I mean, knowing that you're coming on to something that is unfairly maligned, and by association, those who associate with us will by extension be unfairly maligned. We have to have the enemies of this country spend some ordinance. I mean, people have got to go out there and make them use some of their fire, and as they do, I think they become weakened as well, and it could be something that would be a great boon. I mean, certainly, I think you stand out now from anybody else who may be in that pack.
Let me just say this to you, too, Neil. We have a saying with our radio show, if you're not catching flack, you're not over the target.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But back to you.
If you're not getting called a racist or an anti-Semite or a white nationalist or a white supremacist today, you're doing something wrong.
Well, you're definitely not cool. That's for sure. Well, let's go back then to your campaign. You're running. Obviously, to say you would be less well-funded than your opponent, I'm sure would be a great understatement. And with name recognition as well, although you're certainly doing things to change that. You mentioned the opioid crisis that is particularly afflicting rural whites for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Of course, the attacks that they take, the psychological trauma and the depression that comes along with that, not being able to be proud in who they are and so on and so forth. There's a lot of different reasons why whites are afflicted with opioid abuse. But this was an issue that Lauren Witzke ran on as well. And that was another person, by the way, of course, as I'm sure you know, had no name recognition, had no money. She won a contested Republican primary and then got 40% of the vote in the general. So that just happened last year.
Yeah, my question is, why aren't the Sacklers in jail?
Well, anyway, Lauren Witzke, and do you take any inspiration from the example she was able to set?
Yeah, Lauren's awesome. I've spoken to her a couple weeks ago. She's definitely in. And just talking to her, I mean, she's a powerhouse. She's awesome. I hope she runs for office again someday. Yeah, she's great. So you mentioned the opioid plague. 850,000 Americans have been murdered by the opioid epidemic. That's big pharma, open borders, and China in the past 20 years since the release of OxyContin. Now, in that same 20 years, Arkansas suffered the third largest increase in the white mortality rate in the entire country, right? Arkansas has been completely devastated by this opioid plague. No one talks about it. You know, Steve Womack actually has a son that's in prison for drugs and guns. Now, I'm not attacking him on that at all, because that, you know, I defy you to find one Arkansan family that has not been affected by this, and it's the human wreckage of a government that has long since used to give a damn about the people it claims to represent. But you would think that this being in his family, you'd think that he would have done something about it, right? Well, you'd be wrong. He's done nothing about it. I actually lost one of my best friends in high school to a drug overdose, and we've lost several others just from my high school, Bentonville High School graduating class. I mean, it's such a tragedy, and no one has done anything about it, besides, you know, a couple of people pay lip service or maybe give some money towards it, but that's it.
Well, Mr. Womack is apparently willing, your opponent, Mr. Womack, is apparently willing to sacrifice his son for his career. At least that's what I'd make of what you just told me.
All right, are you still with us, Neil? Yeah, we're here. We may have lost Neil, though. Okay, there he's back. Okay, yeah, just momentary interruption. Sorry about that. Yeah, momentary interruption with the phone there. But getting back to your campaign. Now, I think if you're being pragmatic, you look at the big picture. I was a little bit younger than you when I ran for state representative, which was obviously a far lesser seat than what you're seeking. But there are ancillary benefits from running and being courageous and showing courage under fire and running for serious issues. I mean, that's the thing that we're learning about you right now. You are willing to confront serious issues and sacrifice sacred cows and tackle taboos. And you can fall short of the goal and still have great things happen for you down the road. I wouldn't be on the radio had I not run for office. It wasn't what I was intending to do at the time. Lauren Witzke obviously is doing great things now post-election as well. But, of course, right now we're focusing on winning. I mean, that is the goal. Nobody runs to lose just in the hopes that something will pan out.
And I would think that you are running in a peculiarly good district.
The Arkansas, a great point, Keith. Arkansas or Ozarks, Neil, tell us a little bit about the demographics and the politics of that particular region that you're seeking to represent.
Well, the Ozarks are a very interesting place. So if you go back to the War for Southern Independence, actually, Northwest Arkansas, the the mountain folk of the Ozarks were kind of like the mountain folk of Appalachia, and this is greater Appalachia, but it was a hotbed of unionist sympathy, actually. Going to, you know, up through the 60s, this was a Southern Democrat stronghold, as was the rest of the South. A lot of the most conservative people here, well, they were Dixiecrats. They only recently, just since Bill Clinton years, basically, left the Democrat Party and went Republican because they saw that both parties left them behind, but Democrats even more so. But anyway, yeah, this is a very conservative district. This is Trump country, as people would put it. And so the reason why we have, you know, I actually don't like anybody in the Arkansas congressional delegation. The reason that our representatives are so bad is the reason why most politicians across the country are bad. And it's money. You know, Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville is where I'm based. That's the headquarters of Walmart, the world's largest retailer. They've got 2.3 million plus employees, one of the largest corporations in the world. And
talk about Walmart in Arkansas.
I'm and Tyson Foods, too.
Yeah. Well, hang on. We got one more break. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Now it's time for my patented mentioning of I can't believe how fast tonight's going by. But we got one more segment with Neil Kumar. Neil for Arkansas.com, running in a Republican primary for U.S. Congress. Stay tuned.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass. I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born. I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Stay in the time longer to what we
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more segment with Neil Kumar. NeilForArkansas.com, as he writes there prominently on his homepage. As soon as you go to the website, he's been a proud Arkansan his whole life. He has 400 years of American ancestry in his veins. America has been in his family and has been his family's home since the 17th century. And again, we're talking to Neil about serious issues, and you can learn what issues he's running on. Anytime you do an introductory interview with a debut guest, certainly when it's somebody who's running for Congress, there's so much to talk about. We seem to paint in broad strokes, but you can learn more on your own time at neilforarkansas.com. And again, I love the fact that he's saying, hey, yes, I understand that European Americans also have unique group interests. There's nothing wrong in saying that, ladies and gentlemen. There's just nothing wrong in saying, hey, I'm going to look after and safeguard the interests of all my constituents, not one group at the expense of the other, but all of them, including the ones that nobody will stand up and speak for, even Donald Trump. And there were some things to like about Donald Trump, and I voted for him twice. But Donald Trump would say countless times, here's what I'm going to do for the blacks, as he would put it, the blacks, the Hispanics, the gays, the whatever, on and on and on. Never once did he ever say, this is what I'm going to do for white people.
In fact, white people made up the majority of his base of voters.
Yeah, to say the least. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this, Neil. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you being willing to stand up and champion these issues, even though hell is going to be rained down upon you. It's going to take men of that courage in order to exact any change. But let's talk about some of the mechanics of this thing. Let's talk about ballot access. What is the requirement? What are the requirements to get on the ballot in your district for the U.S. House? And where do you stand with regard to that issue right now?
Yeah, so you have to just do some paperwork stuff with the Arkansas GOP, and then you have to pay a $15,000 filing fee to the Arkansas Republican Party in order to get on the ballot. The Democrats recently waived their filing fee, so it's only GOP candidates that have to do that. Now, to put that in perspective, $15,000 is one of the highest filing fees in the country, and Arkansas is one of the poorest states in the nation. So this is just pure corruption. It's a way to shield incumbents from primary challengers. And like I was talking about, I kind of trailed off there before the break because I was hearing the music.
Sure.
Walmart and the other corporate interests in Arkansas dominate our politics. There's not a single politician in Arkansas right now that dares to buck Walmart or the Walton family. So, you know, if you don't have this big money backing, it's hard to do anything. And that $15,000 filing fee is just one symbol of that.
That's fascinating. You know, when I was working for Pat Buchanan back in 2000 and he was running as a Reform Party candidate, he had ballot access in some states, and in other states you had to get it. And the requirements for ballot access, people don't know this unless you've worked on a campaign or run for office yourself, they vary so wildly from state to state. Some states are almost impossible to get on. Some states have fees. I've never heard of a $15,000 fee, but that's interesting. And some states are very easy. In Tennessee, you just have to have 25 to run for president. We just had to get Pat 25, the signatures of 25 registered voters in each of the 9 congressional districts, and I think like a couple of hundred at large. It was nothing. It was the easiest, I think, of all the states. And then in states like Texas, you were talking about a percentage of those who voted in the last elections. It was tens of thousands of votes. So very interesting, but I was shocked to hear a $15,000 filing fee. So that is something you're working towards. When is the primary? What is the date of when your name would appear on the ballot?
The official date hasn't been announced yet, but assuming it falls on the same day it did last cycle, then it'll be on May 24th of 2022.
What's the deadline for people throwing their hat in the ring? And is the race now set between you and Womack, or is there a chance of a third or fourth contender coming in there?
Well, I mean, anybody can file up until the filing period, which I think should be in March. That hasn't been announced yet either, but it's typically around March or April. I'll tell you, right now it's just me and Womack, but there's a Senate candidate, Jan Morgan, running against Senator John Bozeman. Now, I don't know if Bozeman is behind it or if it's just the GOP is behind it, but either Bozeman or the GOP itself plucked this guy, Jake Beckett, a football player, out of nowhere to run against Bozeman. And, you know, the intent there is to torpedo Jan and split the vote. So the GOP will do anything they can to prevent America First patriots from getting access to office.
In other words, a real conservative.
That is fascinating, Neil, that is certainly a mechanism that's been put into place to discourage populists and upstarts and grassroots candidates from running against the entrenched incumbents, and in many cases, I'm sure, the corrupt incumbents. So that's the more you know. That, I think, is the thing that most surprised me about everything we've learned about you.
Well,
tonight.
It sounds like your opponent, basically, if you look in the dictionary under the term rhino, they'll see his picture next to it.
Well, and again,
absolutely.
I can guarantee you, I know the Arkansas Ozarks, and not as well as Neil, of course, but being from Tennessee, I mean, we know our surrounding states and some of the different folks in the different regions, and I can guarantee you, I mean, I would imagine that that's one of the most conservative areas of the entire country. So the fact that a guy like that could ascend to be the representative of such a district is, it would be astonishing if it just wasn't so normal.
It shows that the people aren't being given a choice by the Republican Party, and Neil is out to make sure that doesn't happen this time.
So what is, Neil, your plan for campaigning going forward? Do you have any idea of getting groups together for door knocking, running ads? I mean, what would you hope to do if the opportunity materializes?
Well, things will keep heating up as the primary date approaches. A lot of my voters are rural and farmers, so they're busy now, and they'll be free to do stuff in the fall. But, you know, basically the strategy for any grassroots campaign is two-pronged: raise as much money as I can, and my opponent's already got $1.5 million in the bank, and as I present more of a threat to this system, they're going to pump more money into his campaign. So I'm not going to be able to match him dollar for dollar, but I can try to come close, right? So that's point one. Point two is just, you know, meet as many people as I can. It's I'm being suppressed by local media. They're not covering me. So the best thing I can do is just get in front of my voters. Just talk to as many people as I possibly can.
And I know, of course, when you first announced, there was a flurry of articles and local press in Arkansas last month, but I guess as they increasingly found out who you were, that you're actually a serious candidate running on serious issues, that it's time to push the suppression button. But you have been going around to small gatherings. I think you were at one. Was it just this weekend or just recently, or is it soon coming up? Just going to the small little.
I've been doing meet and greets just in people's living rooms up through, I don't know, the past month, and then I just had a larger event today. I spoke at a constitutional workshop, kind of town hall thing, and that was nice. But it'll be events like that, and then hopefully what I want to build towards is larger rallies with like several hundred people. That's the target going forward. But you start small. It's like an avalanche. You start with a little tiny snowflake, and it goes from there.
Oh, absolutely, and especially in these races. I mean, a House race, a U.S. House race, is obviously a big geographical area, certainly much greater than a state House race. But it's certainly more manageable than running for governor or senator or something like that that's statewide. So, listen, I appreciate everything we've learned about you tonight, Neil. We want to continue to talk with you and do what we can to help you. I appreciate your stand for Christ and for Christianity and for the Southern people. How can people find out more about you? I mean, we've been giving the website, of course, and I know Facebook already shut down your campaign website on Facebook, or your Facebook campaign page. They've already nuked you, but you still have your internet headquarters, your website. But how can people help you?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing you can do is to donate. You know, I wouldn't be a good politician if I didn't ask for money, right? So this is me asking for money. Any amount, there's no amount too small. Every penny helps. I'm up against Walmart. I'm up against the Arkansas machine. And I'm up against the national GOP establishment. So think about this. Do you know any other candidates that are talking about the issues that I'm talking about? Because I don't. And we need, you know, we need 434 other people in Congress just like me. So
exactly.
Help me do that.
Neil, let me give you this bit of advice from someone who's run.
Yeah.
First of all, the cheapest thing you can do that gets you the most coverage is yard signs. If people see a lot of yard signs, even if they don't hear a lot of TV ads and newspaper ads and stuff like that, it still makes an impact. Also, remember what I told you earlier in the show. Tell people you need to pay real close attention to any candidate that has a lot of ads, a lot of expensive advertising. That's telling you that that's the person not to vote for.
And run as the outsider, which of course you are, and which you will do, I'm sure. It really worked well for Trump, and there is certainly an appetite for that right now as the GOP base continues to shift more and more in our direction. Neil for Arkansas.com, ladies and gentlemen. You get more information about him. You'll see his platform. Read his platform. What a platform. You can volunteer. You can contribute. Neil, last word to you, my friend.
I just appreciate you having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, the pleasure's entirely ours, and we look forward to continuing to track. And I'm glad we had you on when we did because, I mean, the primary coming up next spring, that's not all that far away, so it's time to get the ball rolling.
Well, we're hoping to congratulate you when you are elected the new congressman from Arkansas.
That's right. Well, Neil Kumar, everybody, Neil for Arkansas.com. Neil, it won't be the last time we speak, I hope. God bless you. Godspeed. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Okay,